Chapter 2. Two More Favors. The Don sat behind a huge desk. Sonny Corleone had been brought in, red-faced, by Hagen from his meeting with Lucy Mancini in one of the bedrooms, and now stood next to the window. His father had asked him to be brought in to learn a few things. Now, the Don was discussing the last man who had come in, an undertaker called Amerigo Bonacera, whose daughter, the Don's wife's goddaughter, had been violently attacked by two men.
"Give this job to Clemenza and Polygatto," the Don told Hagen. "They won't get too excited by the smell of blood."
He noticed Sonny was staring out at the garden party.
"It's hopeless," Don Corleone thought.
Santino could never run the family business. The Don had to find somebody else, and soon. He would not live forever. Suddenly, there came a huge shout from the garden. Sonny pressed his face close to the glass, then rushed smiling to the door.
"It's Johnny! He came to the wedding!"
Hagen moved closer to the window.
"It really is your godson," he said to Don Corleone. "Shall I bring him here?"
"No," the Don said. "Let the people enjoy him."
Then he smiled at Hagen.
"You see, Johnny really is a good godson."
Hagen felt slightly jealous.
"It's been 2 years," he said dryly. "He's probably in trouble again."
"And who should he come to for help if not his godfather?"
asked Don Corleone. The first person to notice Johnny Fontaine enter the garden was Connie. She screamed, "Johnny!" then ran into his arms. He embraced her and kept an arm around her as others came up to greet him. They were all his old friends, people he had grown up with on the west side of Manhattan.
"How about a song, Johnny?"
someone cried, and the band began to play a tune. Johnny jumped onto the stage and shouted,
"This is for the bride,"
before singing a lively Sicilian love song. Before the song ended, everyone was clapping their hands. They were all proud of him. He was one of them, and he had become a famous singer and a movie star who slept with the most beautiful women in the world. But he had also shown proper respect for his godfather by coming to this wedding. Only Don Corleone, returning to the front door of the house, realized something was wrong. When the song was finished, he called out,
"My godson has come 3,000 miles to honor us, and no one has got him a drink?"
At once, a dozen full wine glasses were pushed at Johnny. He took a mouthful from one, then rushed forward to embrace his godfather. As he did this, he whispered something into the older man's ear. Don Corleone led him into the house and up to his office, where Tom Hagen was waiting. Then, Johnny Fontaine turned to the Don.
"When I got the wedding invitation, I thought, my godfather isn't mad at me anymore. Every time I rang after my divorce, Tom told me you were out or busy, so I knew you were sore."
Don Corleone was filling glasses with whiskey.
"That's all forgotten. Now, can I help you with something still? You're not too famous or rich that I can't help you."
Johnny swallowed the whiskey and reached out his glass for more. He tried to sound happy.
"I'm not rich, Godfather. You were right. I should never have left my wife and kids for that whore I married. I don't blame you for being sore at me. I was crazy about her, the biggest star in Hollywood. But she sleeps with everyone, even the makeup men.
How is your family?
Don Corleone interrupted. I take care of them. I gave Jenny and the kids more than the court said I should. I see them once a week. I miss them. Sometimes I think I'm going mad.
Don Corleone sighed and said simply,
These are troubles I can't help you with. What's the matter with your voice?
Suddenly, all the light disappeared from Johnny's face.
Godfather, I can't sing anymore. Something happened to my throat. The doctors don't know what. My two movies made a lot of money. I was a big star. Now they're throwing me out. The head of the studio always hated me, and now he's paying me off because I slept with a girl he liked. Then my whore second wife threw me out, and Jenny and the kids won't take me back. And now I can't sing anymore. Godfather, what the hell can I do?
Don Corleone's face had become cold.
You can start by acting like a man.
Suddenly, his voice was full of fury.
Like a man! You've spent all that time with me, and now you're like this, crying like a woman. You walk out on your wife and children. You take the girl of a man who is your boss, and so he pays you off. And then you complain that your first wife doesn't welcome you back with open arms, and you cannot see your children enough. Oh, what shall I do?
At this, both Johnny and Hagen began to laugh. Then the Don's face softened. He wished his own children could behave like this when he got sore at them.
So, you have woman trouble, he went on. Your voice is sick. Now tell me about this movie studio man.
Jack Woltz owns the movie studio. Just a month ago, he bought the movie rights to the biggest novel of the year, and the main character is a guy just like me. It's perfect for me, but that bastard won't give it to me.
Don Corleone nodded.
You look tired, he said. I think you're drinking too much. I want you to stay here and rest. This Jack Woltz will give you the job that you want. Okay? I'll make him an offer he can't refuse. Now go back to the party. Your friends are waiting for you.
He pushed Johnny out of the room. Hagen sat behind the desk and made notes. The Don sighed.
Is there anything else?
Salazzo can't be put off anymore. You'll have to see him this week.
The Don shrugged.
Now the wedding is over. Whenever you like.
This answer told Hagen two things. The answer would be no, and the Don expected this to cause trouble.
I want you to fly to California tonight to see this Jack Woltz,
the Don said after a moment.
Tell Salazzo, I'll meet with him when you're back.
It was still dark when the plane landed in Los Angeles. Hagen went to a hotel, showered, and had breakfast before going to meet Jack Woltz. He waited in the expensive offices until his name was called. Woltz was a tall, powerfully built man with a large stomach. He collected art, knew the president, and was married to a world-famous, beautiful actress.
His most recent hobby was owning horses. He had just bought the famous English horse, Khartoum, for $600,000. Woltz shook Hagen's hand when he entered the office. Then Hagen immediately began to speak. He was here for a friend of Johnny Fontaine, he explained. This friend was a very powerful man who would give his lifelong friendship to Mr. Woltz if Mr. Woltz would do him a small favor. He wanted Johnny to play the main character in the studio's new movie. Woltz's face did not move.
And what favors can your friend do for me?
You've got some union trouble coming up, Hagen explained.
That trouble could cost you a lot. Delay your movies. My friend, Mr. Corleone, can make it disappear.
Jack Woltz listened quietly. Then his face suddenly turned black with fury.
You're trying to put muscle on me?
Not at all, Hagen replied coolly.
I've just come to ask a favor for a friend.
Jack Woltz leaned forward over the desk, and his eyes shone.
All right, let me explain for you. Johnny Fontaine stole my girl, so he'll never get that movie. I don't care how many gangsters you send my way.
I don't think you understand the situation, said Hagen. He knew never to lose his temper. The Don had taught him that.
Mr. Corleone is Johnny Fontaine's godfather, and he wants to help his godson. But he never asks for a second favor when the first has been refused. Thank you for meeting me, but I think I'll leave for the airport now. Mr. Corleone is a man who likes to hear bad news at once.
Jack Woltz always slept alone, despite having a huge bed. On this Thursday morning, for some reason, he woke early. Far down at the bottom of his bed was a shape he recognized, and Woltz pushed himself onto his elbows to get a closer look. It looked like a horse's head. His eyes still half closed, Woltz reached out and switched on the lamp beside the bed. The shock of what he saw made him sick from his head to his feet. Cut from its body was the beautiful black head of the racehorse Khartoum, $600,000 stuck in a huge cake of blood. Woltz shook and screamed wildly. It took a long time for the doctors to calm him down. 6 hours later, Johnny Fontaine received a phone call from Hollywood. He was told to report for work on Woltz's film the following Monday.